Jacob was born 6 weeks premature. He had a complete shutdown with his body. He had 7 heart attacks. He had 2 complete blood transfusions. I spoke his name and he never responded. And I spoke it louder and he never responded. We knew then that he was not able to hear. We watched our son go through 37 years of trials and tribulations, and yet he was a happy man. We always think we have to see that healing. And if you don't have that healing, we had people come to us and say, where's your faith? You don't have enough faith that for your son to be healed.
The very thing I said when he passed was, what am I going to do without you? God had divinely opened up heaven to show us the reality that Jacob is healed. Why am I so sad over my son who's healthy now and living in the presence of Jesus?
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner. And Wendy, I've always been curious about this one scripture. So can I read it?
Yeah.
All right. So it's Isaiah 11, verse 6. It says, in that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. And a little child will lead them all. That's the part that I really like. The little child shall lead them all. Oh, man, hang on for the ride today, gang.
Because yeah.
Let me just ask you, what would you do if the doctors told you that that very child who's going to lead you is your newborn son who wouldn't live past 6 months? So our guest today didn't face just that. They chose hope instead. And for 37 years, Ken and Mary Sue Grine cared for their little son, Jacob, who survived 2 heart attacks, a kidney transplant.
No, I think it was like
7
heart attacks.
Right. It was 2 initial. Oh, man. 7 heart attacks.
2 initial, yeah. And
listen to this. As a preborn infant, a kidney transplant, deafness, and physical disabilities. Mm-mm. And then in the process, they discovered this depth of faith and love that completely transformed their entire family.
Yeah. So if you're walking through a tough season, I want you to remember that breakthroughs, they don't come from avoiding pain. They come from choosing love and hope right in the middle of all of it. And so we are reminded that faith doesn't always remove the hardship. It actually redeems it. And so you're going to love this episode with Ken and Mary Sue Grine. Well, welcome, Ken and Mary Sue Grine, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. We are so excited to have you here.
It's a blessing to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
You have such an amazing story to share. It's a breakthrough story, actually over 37 years with lots of breakthroughs.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that. But let's go right back to the very beginning, because here you are as fairly young newlyweds in your 20s, excited about the birth to come of your little son. But it's premature. And so you're in the hospital. You give birth to little baby Jacob. And what happened when the doctors revealed to you that something else was going on?
Well, Jacob was born 6 weeks premature, and he had a cyst on his kidney the size of a grapefruit.
Wow.
And so within 2 hours after he was born, they took him in for surgery to have that removed. After that was removed, the doctor said, you know, his kidney doesn't look the best, but we left it in, and we feel like it's going to be okay. But within 2 days after that, he had a complete shutdown with his body. He had 7 heart attacks. He had 2 complete blood transfusions. His lungs collapsed.
That poor little body.
And he was a sick puppy.
How in the world did, how does a little premature baby like this tiny little infant going through all of that, you have to say, well, how in the world and why did he survive?
Right. We were wondering. We, being 22 years old, we had no medical knowledge. We were just young, innocent,
babies.
Naive. Ken was a pig farmer.
Oh, really? That's probably a whole other topic for another podcast.
Yes, it actually played into it because it gave me more reassurance that he was when he arrived at the hospital. And then after the doctors, discovered that there was a cyst, we just had to really turn to the Lord and rely on him. We had a really interesting thing. When God prepares you in advance, the doctors had discovered that the cyst was there. They'd done the surgery. But we were called back to the hospital. And in that day and age, it was 1981, there wasn't cell phones. So we traveled to 30 minutes home. And when we arrived in our home, the phone was ringing. So we answered that. And they promptly said, you need to return. Your baby's not doing well. And that's when they were telling us about the heart attacks. And a really important part of this is that we got back in the car, listened to the radio, and on came Dallas Home. He was the Christian singer at the time, contemporary. And he was singing a song that said, I will not let the righteous be forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Mm-hmm. And so that was a promise that he had already instilled, like God does. He prepares you unknowingly for what you're going to encounter. Mm-hmm. So we had our promise that we were the righteous. He wasn't going to forsake or abandon Jacob.
Yeah. Mm. And
it was so comforting because we needed that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I just love how God shows up in just special little small ways, but they mean great things to us all in moments like that with even a song, right, on the radio. But let's talk about, so after Jacob was born and he's been going through just all this tough stuff that even an adult would have a struggle going through, but this little infant premature baby, what did the doctors tell you at this point?
Yeah, did they give you any hope at all?
No, not at all. In fact, they had run some EEGs on him and his brain waves came back as severely abnormal. So they took us into an office. He was about a week old. And the doctor sat us down and said, we want to talk to you about something. Your child is not going to make it. And we give him 6 months to live.
In fact, they said if he did, he'd be severely disabled and his prognosis would be poor.
So he said, if you would like, we can make this easy for you and we could help in the transition of his passing. And you can hold them in your arms and we can make it a very special time for you. And we were both stunned and shocked at the same time as he told us this.
So imagine that we were being faced with a medical profession telling us what to do. And we're trying to lean on, okay, I know we need to trust your opinion, but
it didn't match your faith.
Realize he did it. Didn't match our faith. And so he was the unfit life that he was telling us Jacob was going to live was not the one that the Psalms talk about where I formed you in your mother's womb. I have a plan and I have a purpose. Yes. And so we had choices to make. And so we chose to surrender him to the Lord.
Yeah. He said no to that doctor. In fact, the remembrance of the song also came back to us that Dallas Holmes sang to us, that promise that God had given us. And we didn't know what the outcome was, but we took this step of faith and we said, no, if God wants to take our baby home, then God can take him home. And otherwise, we're not making that decision. And so the doctor said, fine, we will do everything we can to help with this. And he honored our wishes. And after he left that office and we were sitting in there, we both looked at each other and we said, we surrender. And we lifted up our hands. We lifted our hands up and said, Lord, we surrender our son to you for however long we get to keep him. You use him.
And that's an important part of our story because it began everything that we ever did from that point on is we're at the end of our rope. The doctors don't know what to do. It's up to you, Lord. And you have the best in mind for him. And we're going to trust you with the unknown results.
Wow. I tell you, I just choked up listening to you. Yeah. Mary Sue and Ken, how in the world did you develop that kind of faith? Because there are people listening right now and they're facing their own seemingly hopeless situation where the impossible could only be possible with God intervening, but there's no real assurance. Like, you didn't have an absolute assurance. So how was this faith developed in the two of you that you could literally surrender and say, God, we just trust you?
Well, we learned that time at that time to do one day at a time. Mm. That was our motto. And then Mary Sue got another word from the Lord about that. And what was that one?
Every moment.
Every moment.
Choose whether to despair or repair.
Ooh, I love that.
Cross.
Every moment.
So, you know, in your private moments when you can be who you need to be and you cry out to the Lord and you're really, you are weeping and you're pouring it all out to him, he's the one listening.
Yeah.
And so our faith was so strengthened knowing that Dallas Holm had prepared us with a song that was a promise from the Lord. And then we could just surrender and let go and let God show us how to walk in the moment's notice.
Wow.
Nothing was planned.
We had no idea what was ahead of us. Nothing at all. And we were 22 and we just loved God, trusted God. But was it hard? Yes, it was very hard. And we had very dark days and dark moments.
Yeah,
but we weren't like these great Christians that had it all together, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. That's why Mary Sue said moment by moment, and totally get that. But just progress a little further in the story, because now you have surrendered. You believe that God can have this breakthrough of keeping your son alive. So you take him home. What sort of condition was he in, and where did it go in the following months and years after that?
Well, when we took him home, it was a day of rejoicing because, again, imagine this. We got to take him home. How many days later after his son?
137 days he was in the NICU.
Yeah.
Wait, 137?
137 days in the NICU.
Wow.
2.5
wow.
months.
Oh. Wow. So yeah,
when
you
came
were.
Home,
rejoicing.
He had just taken out a kidney. The kidney that the cyst was on ended up being removed. Mm. And that made his body just revive. He no longer had that problem. Mm. And so the doctor says, you get to take him home on November 18th. And we looked at each other and he said, that's his birthday.
Oh.
My husband's birthday.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet.
Like another, it's a gift from God.
Yeah.
And when we got him home, we got him into our home. He had been so fragile throughout those times with medicines and every line you could think of from in the NICU. And now he's free. And we're really, really careful. I was trying to keep nursing him. That failed. He wasn't strong enough to breastfeed, so we gave him, and that was okay because he ended up needing more nourishment and special milk.
It was just a really, really difficult time. Yeah. We had never had a baby before, and so we're not only dealing with the issues of his life and death, because he just was home maybe a week and we were back in the hospital. So it was touch and go. Anything that he could get sick very quickly and very easily. But we were also learning that he had cerebral palsy because of the heart attacks. We were dealing with his hearing, and we were sure that he didn't have a hearing loss. We would come up and talk, and he would respond and he'd look at us. But we come to find out that God had helped him with his other senses.
Yeah. Wow.
And so the other senses were kicking in. And so I remember he'd been home maybe 8 months, and I'll never forget. I snuck up behind him just for fun. I was just going to surprise him. And I spoke his name and he never responded. Mm. And I spoke it louder. And he never responded. Mary Sue was sitting in front of him. And she could see. And I hollered. And he didn't respond. And we knew then that he was not able to hear. And So it was those kind of realities that we began to deal with as he grew, that it was like we didn't know, but there were more things coming down our path.
Mm. Yeah, it's like it was
going to happen.
Layer upon layer of things that you were dealing with Jacob. And I think to myself how, you know, young you two were as parents, but also probably how long had you been married at this point? So probably newlyweds, more or less.
2 years.
2 years? So, yeah, still freshly married. And so I'm just curious, did it put a strain on your marriage? How did you handle that as well?
Well, we have to go back to the parking lot outside of Children's Hospital.
Okay.
All right, let's go there.
Defining mom.
Yeah.
And it's in our book, so yeah. We talk about that.
Yeah. So every person has their struggles in its real life. And so I was blaming myself, and then I was blaming Ken, and Ken was blaming me, and he was blaming himself. So we're going through that. And we realized that we weren't we were very emotional, very caught off guard with everything that had happened to us. We were in a whirlwind, is just spinning and just going through the motions of showing up exhausted. And these are areas of every person's life when they go into any kind of trauma or medical situation that's out of their hands. So my husband's being the wise man that he is today, he started off with a profound comment. Want to share it?
No, you go ahead.
Okay.
You're so cute.
Honey, we're not doing each other a favor here, and we're not doing Jacob a favor. We need, and the enemy is having his way. Mm. And so we're not going to give the enemy any more ground.
It's good.
And we need to tell him he can't have us. He can't have us, our marriage, or our child, or this circumstance. So when we brought him home, those are the things that had to walk in.
It's a very real question that you're asking, because we saw so many couples get divorced that we knew when our kid was in the hospital that we followed. And that's what the enemy's plan is.
Of course.
And we fought. And I'm telling you, we fight to this day to not let the enemy come in and break us apart. Every couple has to do that, because the enemy is very wise with what he tries to do.
Yeah, and I just want to pause it there, because that is what you said. The enemy's tactic is to break down the family unit, because where the family is strong, we are stronger together and in Christ as a family. And so the fact that you made those bold declarations and you went after your marriage and your family with great authority, the enemy had to run. He's like, wow, you know, he knows who he is in Christ, and I'm done here. So that's a reminder for all of us, no matter what we're going through, to be bold and speak in great authority.
Yeah, and it's not like just a one and done. Right. I'm sure that you guys continue to make those declarations of faith. And I'm guessing there were times where you felt like you're almost cracking under the weight of what this challenge was all about, because it's not like all of a sudden Jacob got better. As I understand, there was progressive conditions that worsened. So talk a little bit about that. Once, as he was into his, he was 8 months when he couldn't hear. And then what happened as he progressed towards year one and two?
There were issues that went on with his surgeries that had to have with his ears, surgeries with his eyes. His eating was difficult because he had had a tube down his throat for so long to help him to breathe. He had scar tissue in there. So when he would eat, it was very discouraging. He would eat a really nice meal, and then he would throw up, and if he took one bite too much, and it, for parents that watched a child that couldn't gain weight.
Mm-hmm. Actually, he was 30 pounds for 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Gain. And that has to do a little bit with the kidney disease that he had. But also, he was fighting for his life, and he was always struggling. Like he said, there was ear infections and then a pneumonia and then other things that kept attacking his body. So Yes, the struggle was real. And, you know, you talk about Ken and I struggling. We kept looking at him and realizing he was the focus of what God really wanted his life to prevail. And he had a plan and purpose for Jacob. So
for sure.
I'm feeling the compassion that you had in making your son like the priority in your lives and caring so much for his progress. Never knowing, like, what's the next day going to bring? And I think that's probably what does a lot of people in. It's like, okay, it's as bad as it's going to get, isn't it? And then something worse happens, and then you have to adjust to that, which is what the story of your lives were, bringing Jacob up. But I just want to take a quick left turn, because I'm just curious about something. You're into this for 2 or 3 years. Jacob's got all these struggles. Had you thought about having more children, or were you wondering, do we even dare have another child? What if we encounter more?
Or did God just surprise you and say, guess what? Yeah. You're pregnant.
Yeah.
It is so true. I have my story and Ken has his, so I'll share mine. I was just so naive. And here I am just doing everything I can to keep one baby healthy and doing the mama thing. And yes, I found out I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. And it's 18 months later. And so we have a baby girl, and then 2 years later, we have a little boy, and then we lost a child, and then 6 years later, we had another child. So wow. We went on to have a family of
yes.
That's amazing.
It was very, very exciting. Yeah. It was very exciting to be able to grow our little family, because we wanted more children. But I will be honest with you that after Jacob was born, I was afraid. I had fears that we might have another disabled child. And families do have that take place. So it's a real fear. But like everything else, you give it to the Lord and you trust the Lord with all of that. And if we were to have another disabled child, we would have loved and been okay with that, just as we were with Jacob.
I honestly can say we had accepted Jacob's disabilities. Mm-hmm. We honestly had surrendered it all. And his limitations and the fact that he couldn't roll over, he couldn't walk, he couldn't crawl. Yes, he was eating, but, you know, he's holding on. We just realized that was okay. And I don't know how to explain that other than God graces you when you surrender. And then he gives back to you the strength and the hope and the courage and the faith and to just love the child and to trust him with all of the future that he's going to have, plus all the other little ones that you
get. And I just think about all the, you know, the other three children and how they must have just really grown in great ways and have just a beautiful heart for those that are struggling with a disability and just have compassion and greater love for people because of Jacob. And so what a blessing, actually, right? People are always say when they have a child it's a gift, right? Yeah. So I just kind of want to move forward.
It's like you know our family.
What's that?
It's like you know our family.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, it's like you know.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Your faith is so refreshing because it's so simple. You have what I believe Jesus called that childlike faith. You know that God is good. And even though the circumstances are bad, you say, but God is good and he loves us and we're going to trust him with what he's going to do. And I can't tell you how many of us need that over and over every single day.
Yes.
So
yes.
Thank you for modeling that and challenging us.
It wasn't just a few years with Jacob. It was 37 years. And so I think about that. That's almost 4 decades of caregiving. And so my question is, you know, I mean, my gosh, most people don't think of caregiving to begin with, like unless they're caregiving for a parent or someone. But when it's a child and then you think, oh, wow, who knows how long this could be? And it ends up being almost four decades. What would you say to somebody who is a caregiver right now that is struggling, maybe being exhausted and not really having that hope or to get them to see the brighter side that God has for them in this season?
I believe that every life is worth living.
Amen.
And if you embrace life, there is no limitations. You could look at our son and say, oh, He couldn't walk, he couldn't talk, he couldn't hear. But what we saw is what he could do. And so when you look at life, it's all perspective. We all have limitations. Even if you're healthy, you don't have it all together as a, you know, maybe you don't have the career you want. Maybe you don't have the marriage you want. Maybe you don't have, you know, the money that you want. So there's always something out there that you get to surrender to the Lord. And then after that, he takes you on your own journey. So each one of us has our own life, our own stories that we can write. And we realized our children, our family knew no different. We didn't feel different from another family. We just were doing what we thought everybody else was doing.
I love that.
Enjoying life and, you know, doing best you could with it, with what God gives you.
Yes.
And that was our normal. And so we didn't know that she said anything different. And so you talk about caregiving. This woman here was a servant of servants. I had to go to work at 6 a.m. and be back at 6 p.m. And so I'd help in the evenings, but she took care of Jacob all of the time. And one of the things I think that really, really helps us now as we look back, but also we were feeling it as we went through it, is we would not be the same people today without having gone through this experience.
Yeah.
He was the teacher in our lives.
And what he taught was every life, everything about us, you know, because he couldn't crawl, because he couldn't walk. We were so grateful when each one of our children could. And even our grandchildren to this day, or anybody was like, oh, look at them. Look what they can do. So a limitation can teach you to just look at life as a precious, and it's not a negative. There's so much extraordinary things that God can make you into and take your eyes off of yourself and onto other people. Like our son had a sensitive spirit, and he taught us all the time that he was looking at others, and those people were impressed because he would see them with the eyes that nobody else could see.
Heavenly eyes.
He began to teach us to walk in this. To walk in the spirit.
Wow.
Well, I love that so much because the perspective is spot on, especially for this day and time, whether someone has a disability or not. Get your eyes off of yourself and start to focus on others and see what others can do, not what they can't. So what a beautiful, profound message.
Yeah. It sounds like as you were going through this process over all these years, you really were, Jake was helping to reshape your understanding of what success really is and what purpose is all about. And so looking back now, what's your new sort of definition of success and purpose based on what you've been through?
Success grows through trials.
Yes.
And limitations do not define you. So.
Spot on.
That's so profound. Limitations do not define you.
I have a scripture that we enjoy that also defines who Jacob was.
Yeah.
Is James 1, 2-4. And it says in there, we're all going to go through trials and tribulations. And when we do, rejoice and be happy. And don't try to squirm out of those things until God has done his full work inside of you. And we watched our son go through 37 years of trials and tribulations, and yet he was a happy man. He was full of joy. He did not let those things get him down. Did he have things where he would go into a slump? Absolutely, like we all do. But he loved life so much and enjoyed life and enjoyed people. And people and ministering to people was important to him. And you go, how can a deaf man that can't talk, that can hardly walk, minister to people? And yet we watched him do it over and over and over.
Yes, that's good.
And it was like he was a joy bell when he's doing that. It's unbelievable to watch.
Love that so much.
Yeah, you know, it's as
society, I'll say one more thing. Society, they want to go ahead.
We have a little lag here.
Sorry.
It's okay.
So
yeah,
society
keep going.
Puts a success on what you perform and what you do. Okay. And, mm-hmm. and God looks at you and says, oh, I knew you before you were even conceived.
That's right.
Jeremiah 1:5 says that. And he says, and your purpose and your plan is designed by me. And Jacob was God's design. And so God wanted to use this crippled boy for his design. And we got to a place where we said, we used to take him to prayer meetings to get healed. And we pray over anything, anytime he was sick. And we will continue to do that because that's scriptural. But what a day when we came to the place of saying, this is what God wanted him to be. Mm. And that's foreign to Christians because we always think we have to see that healing. And if you don't have that healing, we had people come to us and say, where's your faith? You don't have enough faith that for your son to be healed.
Mm-mm.
Or what hidden sin do you have in your life that caused your son to be this way?
No.
And the perspective of God's perspective is, I can use this person just the way I've created him. And our son was happy with that. And we were happy with that. And we didn't have to have this burden on our shoulders or this weight that said, we're bad people or right. we're not good enough Christians because we watched God use this boy.
That's right.
He overcame his disabilities. I mean, he was disabled, but he kept overcoming his own disabilities and he became, he was happy.
To see.
He was joyful. He was persistent. Yeah. He just kept a daily progress. He wanted to get up. He wanted to go to work. He wanted to work out.
Cute.
Doesn't that mean something to you too?
Yes, it does. That's sweet.
Worked out at the gym. And
wow. That's amazing. He's such an inspiration.
Your son was such a teacher.
Yeah.
And we're so grateful you put his story in a book, Jacob's story. And honestly, I haven't picked it up yet. It just came out here in early September, but I'm going to tell you what, next purchase you'll see because he is a true teacher. And here, the two of you, all that you've learned and what you've been through to continue to having that simple faith, trusting God no matter what, even if God wasn't answering prayers like you wished he would answer the prayers. And it's just such a lesson for all of us. It's also a reminder that, look, whatever it is you're going through today, it's probably not that big of a deal. So lighten up a little bit and let it go and surrender and trust God and follow the example of Jacob and get some joy going.
Yeah.
Overcome.
Yeah, I just love hearing about Jacob's story. It is an inspiration. He's an inspiration. And he's a man after God's own heart, you know? And that's why he was such a great teacher and people saw God's love and light through him. But I just was curious, you know, after Jacob's passing, how did you rediscover kind of who you are, or if you even needed to, apart from the caregiving? Mm. And what did healing look like for each one of you? Was it different? I mean, I'm sure there's days that you still grieve. Just kind of share your insights on that.
Well, you're hitting home real hard here. yes. So being my firstborn and leaving the earth 37 years later, I had a hole. And the very thing I said when he passed was, what am I going to do without you? Because I wrapped myself so thoroughly into caring for him day and night that now I'm turning to the Lord in a whole new way because I have a hole and that hole had been filled. And so the Lord came and he spoke to me. He says, well, I designed Jacob's life, but I designed yours too. And so I had to truly, I'd spend a lot of time on my porch just weeping to him and asking him to show me how to live, how to begin living again. And it takes a year plus to get to that place of the pain is so real and the emptiness is so real. And your hands are no longer full. And the food that you prepared, the grocery shopping that you did, even the medical appointments you have to delete in your phones, It's also real. And I came to a place now, 6.5 years later, where I can say, I'm so grateful for the day that Jacob came and the day that he left, because at the end of his life, God showed us a vision through our granddaughter, and it's in the book, but I'm going to give you the highlights. We were at his bedside, and he had already passed, but we were spending time together as a family, all the children, all the grandchildren that were born at the time. And our granddaughter was 5 years old. She stopped weeping 3 times, and she stopped and says, "He's leaping."
Oh,
and then she'd go back to weeping with us. And she'd stop again, "He's leaping." And we could not get past the fact that God had divinely opened up heaven to show us the reality that Jacob was healed. And so a year later, after grieving, I had to come to that place like, why am I so sad over my son who's healthy now and living in the presence of Jesus? And it's a twofold story, because you still grieve, you still want them in your life, but you can't deny that God wanted him healthy and wanted him to come home. Mm-hmm. So Ecclesiastes says that I have a time for you to be born and a time for you to die. So it's a process.
Wow. What a beautiful.
I will say.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I will share on my end that I didn't deal with it. I didn't deal with it.
Yeah.
And when 3 months after he died, the Lord came to me while I was on a walk, and I heard him saying that we need to write a book and we need to do a movie. And I got home, and Mary Sue heard the exact same thing. The exact same day.
That's awesome.
But we were in the middle of our mourning, and so I just didn't deal with it until probably a year ago, when God opened doors for us to find our book writer and then our script writer at the NRB in February of this year. And we began to tell his story.
To the
people, to the book writer, to Jessica Glasner. And all the memories came in. And he's been doing a beautiful, beautiful job, Lord has, of healing my heart and making it whole, and just dealing with it where I had stuffed it down. And I think men sometimes have a tendency to do that more than women, but it happens both sides, you know. And I just thank God, because we are healing, and we're healing as far as between us, because it was also between us having to, our son's not in the middle of our relationship no more. So things that maybe we didn't always deal with, we are getting to deal with now. And we thank God, because he's just beautifully melding our hearts together in just beautiful ways, because
we have time for each other.
Yeah. Wow.
You are a beautiful, beautiful couple. Your marriage is just exemplary. The ways in which you allow the Lord to teach you through Jacob's life, I think, is so inspiring and challenging. And as you're realizing now that God wants this story out to bring himself glory and to help people through their own challenges and trials, as you're realizing, okay, this is not our story. This is God's story through Jacob. Tell me sort of, at least for now, because there's a movie going to be made and the book's out and more people are going to be contacting you. They want you on their podcasts and their TV shows and their radio shows. And as that happens, what are you hopeful that the one main message is that will get through to people?
Here it is. We've talked about this a lot. We wrote the book for this very reason, that people would get hope. That people will get hope through going through whatever situation they're going through. That if we can make it through, we can be an example, they can make it through, because we didn't ask for this, and God gave us our life, and it is what our life is, and we made the best of it with God. And so people need hope every single day.
Yeah.
And whatever they go through.
Yeah. And also mine is that every life is worth living.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's disability.
I drop the mic on that one.
Yes.
Because that is the message, right? Like, every life matters. And it's just proof that God has a plan for every life. So never dismiss what God can do. So thank you both so much for being on the show. Do you have a last question, or are we good?
No, I think
I feel like there's another question.
Well, I really want people to go get that book.
Yes.
Because no matter what it is you're going through, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a story like this, but you know you're going through something.
We all need
hope.
You
need hope. You need encouragement. Yeah. And you need the kind of faith that takes you through without thinking that you have to have the answer that you think is the right answer.
Or without feeling like a victim, like, woe is me. And,
yeah.
And you know, what did I do? You know, that kind of thing, right?
No matter how strong your faith is,
right.
You know, if your faith doesn't remove the hardship, then you need to keep turning to God,
yes.
The trustworthy one who can equip you to get through it, just like he's equipped Mary Sue and Ken. You guys are a great shining light. Thank you so much for joining us.
So where do we go to get Jacob's story? Where do we go to get this book?
I'm going to Amazon as soon as we're over here.
Amazon.com. You can go and order it there. It's called Jacob's Story. And then put our last name behind it, because there's another Jacob's Story on the Amazon. So put our last name behind it, and you'll see a picture of him with his
walker
and wearing his cowboy hat.
Our last name is Grein, G-R-E-I-N.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So that's the best place to go get it at this point in time.
That's good. And we will put that in the show notes as well.
And I wanted to tell you also that we are on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok,
great.
All of those. Most of it's underneath the Jacob's Story. Let's see, Jacob's Story, the book, or Jacob Grein's Story. Just you'll be able to find us. And
wonderful.
And, there's a lot of videos and things out there to watch.
Well, may God continue to expand your reach, because he will be honored and people will be helped. So
yes.
Bless you guys. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you so much.
Bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com, where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.